We are ranking the top 12 overall players for fantasy football. We already did the top 30 running backs and top 30 receivers. Now this is all the positions, the top 12 best players. And we'll start with number one overall for me, Christian McCaffrey, the running back for the San Francisco 49ers. And it becomes even more pressing to secure a running back early when we consider the fact that this running back landscape is changing. Not only are there a ton of committees now in the NFL, but also a ton of veteran running backs change teams this offseason, which means that there's just going to be a whole new mix of problems. But McCaffrey has stability. He's on the same team that was the number one ranked efficiency offense last year, has his same coach, and he's still just 27 years old as of this recording. And then, of course, there's just the obvious points of his production last year had no signs of dropping off. Between his rushing and receiving yards, he had over 2,000 total yards, was a number one running back in fantasy by far, averaging 24.5 fantasy points per game and a massive 21 touchdowns. Now, he's not going to top last year. Most likely, it would be hard to, but he just does not have to. He's been available the last 2 years, showing he's healthy in this offense with an elite red zone and receiving game role. That's kind of all you need, especially when you compare it to some of the other players this year. There's a lot more murky situations. Now, the only player who is close to Christian McCaffrey at maybe being the number one overall player because his role is just that good is the Cowboys' number one receiver and my number one overall receiver, CeeDee Lamb, who, look, he has just such great production outlook heading into 2024 because he's in the prime of his career at just 25 years old, and he just led the NFL with 135 catches, which is like an unreal season. Averaging basically 8 receptions per game for an entire year is just nutso. But that's not all, because he also led the NFL in these categories. Wide receiver efficiency, he had 31 red zone targets and was number one at beating man coverage. And he'll keep his same quarterback in Dak Prescott, one of the better quarterbacks in football, who is also probably as of now entering a contract year, so maybe there's some more motivation there for Dak. So you get CeeDee Lamb, who just a year ago led the NFL also in targets with 10.6 per game, 181 overall, and now this year, heading into 2024, believe it or not, he somehow has weaker competition. Because Dallas didn't draft a wide receiver until the 6th round with Ryan Flannoy, and then they only added in free agency a 32-year-old Martavis Bryant, who knows if he even makes the team. So this is the competition yet again here in the passing game. Brandon Cooks, who's now 31 years old, and Jalen Tolbert, who has shown some signs last year, but overall not a threat to take on massive targets. And you could even go a step further and say they got rid of the more dynamic Tony Pollard and brought back Ezekiel Elliott, who is 28 and not really known for his explosiveness at this point. And based on their offseason moves, there's nothing to show us that they're really committing to running the ball this year, as opposed to just passing the ball a lot more with specifically Lamb. Now, your one concern would be what happens if the offensive line breaks down, because they lost a couple of veteran pieces. A really good center in Tyler Bedea signs with their rivals, the Washington Commanders, and then they lose long-time starter on their team right here, Tyron Smith, who goes to the Jets. Now, they did replace these guys in the NFL draft with a first and a third round pick, but still, those guys are rookies. This would be your main concern if the offensive line finally, it's been great for a decade, breaks down. Now, we'll move to another guy. This is my final guy in my tier one of the overall ranks, and that would be the Miami Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill, because it's pretty hard not to like the receiving yard leader from last year, who basically had 1,800 total yards, averaging 10.7 targets per game for the Dolphins. And now, in back-to-back seasons with the Dolphins, his only 2 seasons with them, he's cleared 170-plus targets both times, and this was while missing a game last year and leaving a couple early, and 119 receptions in both seasons. He's shown no signs of slowing down despite being 30 years old now. In fact, he led the NFL with 3.88 yards per route run, literally averaging 4 yards every time this dude ran a route, which is the highest I've ever seen. And now he's in a division with the Bills, who just lost their 2 veteran safeties this offseason, and the Patriots, who really didn't help their bottom 10 secondary from last year. And when you look at the target competition for Tyreek Hill, they added Malik Washington, a later round rookie. Jaylen Waddle's still there, so there is some target competition here, and they added Odell Beckham Jr. as well, the veteran, but I'm not too concerned about Odell, because we just saw him last year with the Ravens get like in the mid-teens in millions of dollars and basically not even be used. The guy only had 2.5 receptions per game, and then in the postseason, in the most important time, the reason you sign Odell, well, he was basically just used as a part-time player. So I think this signing of Odell, 1 year, $8 million, who knows how much is guaranteed, is more so just kind of like a locker room thing, have a veteran in there, just the vibes. And if you still believe in Mike McDaniel and all the speed on this Miami offense, that it's hard not to like Tyreek Hill, barring some sort of injury or Tua just falling off the face of the earth as a quality QB. Now we get to the tier two of these top overall ranks. So these top three guys, they're just in a tier of their own, in my opinion. My top three picks, I want one of these guys if you have that. Now we start the next tier off, and it's going to be my number 4 overall player, Ja'Marr Chase, who we've just seen this guy's game completely adapt the past few seasons. Because you can see right here in his first season when he entered the NFL, he was just that downfield monster. Single high safeties, he was picking up 18 yards per catch, but then defense is starting putting 2 safeties over top, which means you have to win on the underneath, and you have to rely on yards after the catch. You saw his yards per reception drop. Overall receiving yards with an injury as well didn't do too well. Last year, same thing. He only has 12.2 yards per reception, but the big thing was he saw career high volume and really produced after the catch. 100 catches, 145 targets. This is the new way that teams are playing the Bengals and Ja'Marr Chase, and last year he made them pay for it. And he had all that insane usage despite playing with a backup quarterback for the final 6 games last season. And there aren't many guys in the league who can do this, win you a week single-handedly in fantasy. He had over 50 fantasy points last year in week 5 against the Cardinals, when he had 15 catches on 19 targets, 192 yards, 3 touchdowns. I mean, he went just absolutely absurd. And the fellas' target competition stays the same, maybe got a little bit better because you swap out the veteran Tyler Boyd in the slot with the rookie Jermaine Burton, who I like, but he is still a rookie. And then there's T. Higgins, who right now is on the franchise tag, only has 1 year left, but he's never, when they've both been healthy, been able to kind of take away wide receiver one usage from Ja'Marr Chase. So Chase is a top five player, and maybe this is finally the year, the fourth year in the NFL for Joe Burrow, that he can actually go into an NFL offseason and minicamp healthy. The last three, he's dealt with injury, hasn't been able to practice with his guys. And I'll just leave you with this. Ja'Marr Chase averaged 19 fantasy points and 10.6 targets per game in 10 games with Joe Burrow healthy last season, which would have finished top five at the wide receiver position in both of those categories. Now for my fifth overall player, it takes us to the brand new wide receiver who just got paid in Amon-Ra St. Brown. Look, it's pretty rare that a team goes to the NFC Championship like the Lions last year, and then they bring back basically all of their key contributors the next year and still have a quality offense. But that's exactly what the Lions did. And most importantly, they brought back their really good offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson, who allowed Amon-Ra St. Brown to finish as a top 10 receiver in fantasy last year, 10 different weeks. And Johnson just put Amon-Ra in situations to succeed. He was put in the slot 47% of the time, top five in the NFL. So that's where he got some quality and really good matchups. And when he was in the slot, but also on the outside at times, he was able to be put in spots to win after the catch. Number two in yards after the catch last season. These are his strengths. After the catch ability, working out of the slot against worse cornerbacks, that's where Ben Johnson put him. Now check this out. Amon-Ra St. Brown last year had 9 or more targets or a touchdown in 15 of his 16 games. And because of that production, he got paid a bag, $120 million over a four-year deal with $77 million guaranteed. Shout out to, I believe, the former fourth round pick St. Brown for securing this bag. And it's honestly hard to see this volume fall off a cliff. He's just 24 years old. He has the same quarterback and offensive coordinator situation combination. And if anything, he has weaker target competition. Because yes, he does have the exciting Jahmyr Gibbs, who's going to earn targets out of the backfield, but he already did last season when he earned 71. And yes, he has the exciting second-year player, Sam Laporta, who's going to earn targets. But again, he already did last season when he earned 120. If anything, this team lost their wide receiver too in Josh Reynolds from last year, replacing him with Jameson Williams. Who knows how that goes? You might even see more usage somehow for St. Brown. And hey, if you're finding this video helpful, be sure to take 2 seconds, hit the subscribe button. It lets YouTube know that you liked the video, and then it shows it to more people. Now, my number 6 overall player is my running back 2 this year, and that's Bijan Robinson. And look, it just wouldn't shock me if he's the number 1 overall player in fantasy next season going into the draft, because he's that good of a player, and the offense in Atlanta took a step forward. Because in his rookie season, even though it seemed like a down year to many people because of the way he was being used, when you look at his rushing yards and then his receiving yards of nearly 500, this dude put up over 1,400 total yards, 8 touchdowns, pretty dang good for a rookie. And this is while dealing with a coach in Arthur Smith who would just use a bunch of different weird players, not put Bijan in at times, and it was just strange, his usage. And not to mention, he was on the Falcons, who ranked 32nd last year in passing offense, which meant less sustained drives, less red zone drives, and just a better offensive environment for a running back to be in. I think I just said less better, which makes absolutely no sense, but we're keeping it in. And look, this team's just only going to get better heading into this year because Kirk Cousins is there. That's a massive upgrade from Desmond Ridder. And Bijan gets a new coach in Zach Robinson, who was with the Rams the last 5 years, their passing game coordinator, and just fed Kyren Williams 4 targets per game last season. So I'm not expecting this great role from Bijan Robinson of the third most running back targets last year to reduce. There's some talk of, oh, Kirk Cousins doesn't throw to running backs. I think he just didn't want to throw to Alexander Mattison last year, who was not much of a pass catcher. And now I will leave you with this. Bijan ranked top 10 in broken tackles, receptions, and yards created as a rookie. And now he gets a massive offensive upgrade. Now for my number 7 overall player, another running back here. It's Breece Hall from the Jets. And look, last season he was coming back from an ACL, and we actually saw him basically like midway through the year just get back to full health. He ended up playing all 17 games coming back from injury. And when you look at his rushing yards of basically 1,000 and his receiving yards of basically 600, he had like 1,600 total yards last year coming off of an ACL. Now he's another year removed from that. It's only going to get better, and he should be in a much better offensive situation because last year, well, he was playing in the number 32 offense behind the number 31 run blocking unit. So this offense can only go up, and it should go up with Aaron Rodgers returning, and that offensive line is definitely going to take a step forward after they were just so bad last year and now made a bunch of improvements this offseason. And that started in the NFL draft with their first pick, 11th overall out of Penn State. They take Fashano, an offensive tackle, and then you look at their free agency tracker and you can see they added veteran Tyron Smith to be the left tackle. They also traded for Morgan Moses, who was a right tackle formerly with the team, and signed a guard in John Simpson. They have 4 new offensive linemen this year. So all of this helps Bijan Robinson, and it should allow him to see more red zone touches, because right here, he only had 29 red zone touches last year because the offense just never got to the red zone. And this number right here, 1 goal line touch, according to Player Profiler, that was 33rd in the NFL, this red zone usage. It's terrible. Now he made up for it with the targets, leading the NFL and running back targets, number 1 overall. So that might go down a little bit, but I'll take it if it means he's getting more red zone touches and 3, 4, 5 plus more touchdowns. And this shouldn't shock you because he's a young and exciting running back, but his competition really isn't much. There's Israel Abanikanda, a second year player who last year wasn't involved at all. I believe he only had 22 total carries as a rookie, and then a couple of fourth round and like a sixth round running back pick. I like Braylon Allen. I like Isaiah Thomas, but Isaiah Davis. But based on where they landed in this offense, day three draft capital, they're not going to be much of a factor. We have one more player in tier two before we move on to tier three, and that's going to be my number 8 overall player, Justin Jefferson, who last year was the number 1 overall player for a lot of people, and he's moving downwards, but it's not his fault. It's a pretty simple reason that you probably already know, but he lost Kirk Cousins, and now he's going to have to deal with either a rookie in J.J. McCarthy or Sam Darnold, which objectively speaking is going to be a downgrade, at least for this year, right away for Justin Jefferson. And I know some people might be extremely high on J.J. McCarthy, and I'm hoping he has a great year, but it would be a little bit ignorant and I think foolish to believe that he's just going to automatically putting up the Kirk Cousins leading the league in passing yards like Cousins was last year production. And this is going to be significant because, as you can see from RotoViz right here, in 54 career games with Kirk Cousins, you've seen him average, Justin Jefferson, 20 fantasy points per game. That drops down to about 17.6 without Kirk Cousins. Now, that's still a good number, but it is a drop, and that's why he's dropping in our rankings to reflect that. And now, look, I still trust Kevin O'Connell in this offense to make Justin Jefferson definitely a top 10 receiver and top 10 overall player for fantasy, because he literally just did this last season. On the final four games, Justin Jefferson was averaging over 22 fantasy points per game on 11 targets per game, which would have rivaled the best wide receiver in fantasy football last year. But we also have to bake into his rankings that was just 4 games, and we have to consider what happens if J.J. McCarthy struggles in his rookie year like a lot of guys do. Well, then there's some downside for Jefferson that comes off of that. Now we move on to tier 3, and it's going to be my number 9 overall player, and it's Puka Nacua of the Rams. It's hard to ignore after what he did as a rookie year in 2023, breaking tons of records, 105 catches and over 1,400 receiving yards. And now Puka enters his second season with a full offseason to kind of work with Matt Stafford, Sean McVay, a great quarterback and coach, in what was a top 10 offense already last year. But I do have to admit, this split right here scares me. In 12 games last year with Cooper Kupp, he averaged 15.7 fantasy points and 8.3 targets per game. The 5 games without Kupp, a monster, basically 22 fantasy points and 11.6 targets per game. So my question becomes, should we be a little bit concerned to take him top 10 overall when Cooper Kupp was healthy last year, he did not perform anywhere near that? I'm a bit conflicted because on one hand, Cooper Kupp just couldn't stay healthy last year, and now he's another year older dealing with what seems like a chronic hamstring injury. But then on the other hand, that 15.7 fantasy points per game with Kupp active would rank right around here last year, which is still pretty good. Stephon Diggs, Devontae Adams, right around the wide receiver 15, but that's nowhere near a top 10 overall player. So when you are taking Nacua this high, you're banking on the fact that he's only going to get better entering year 2, which I think makes a lot of sense as he has a whole nother offseason with the team, and the fact that Cooper Kupp is getting older, which means he will be getting worse. You're betting on 2 things. Now, I am personally betting on those 2 things. That's why I have him ranked this highly this year, and I'll just leave you with this. Nacua as a rookie ranks 6th in wide receiver efficiency and 5th in yards after the catch. Now, before the number 10 overall player, and these guys are still absolute studs that you want to be taking in the first round, I just want to let you know about the Fantasy Blueprint. Over 1,000 people used it last year. It's very simple to get. You just follow the 2 simple steps in the description. But here's the thing. If you do not make your fantasy playoffs for whatever reason, you get this blueprint all year. I send it to you every single week during the offseason and also during the weeks every single year with my in-the-week rankings, waiver wire, all that. If you don't make your fantasy playoffs, it's just $10 the entire year. I'll refund it. So this is absolutely risk-free. I basically consider it a deposit. Again, over 1,000 people used it last year. And only 3 people reached out last year for that refund, which means a lot of people found the product helpful, enjoyed it, and most of them made their fantasy playoffs. So you could grab your blueprint for this year's Fantasy League to schmack around your competition by just scanning the QR code on the screen or clicking the link in the description below and just follow those 2 simple steps. Now, my number 10 player, we're still in tier 4, is going to be AJ Brown, who, look, number 10 overall, dude's an absolute beast. He is now finished in back-to-back seasons, his 2 seasons with the Eagles as the number 8 receiver in both of those seasons, hasn't missed a game during that time, and just earned even more volume this past year. And it might be hard to forget because it was so long ago, but he had a great start to the season. From week 3 to week 8, this guy had 125 plus yards in every single one of those games, 6 straight games. And now last season, similar to Jamar Chase that we talked about earlier, his role changed a little bit with the Eagles. Instead of averaging 17 yards per catch, dominating downfield, now it turned to just 13.7. But look at this. The yardage was still very good, right? 1,400, 1,400. And the reason being is he just had more volume. He caught more balls because they were shorter, so it was easier to complete them. He had 12 more targets. It's very similar to what you saw with Jamar Chase. Defense is starting putting another safety over the top. Okay, we'll just dominate on the underneath. Now, the reason why Brown is listed where he is it's just harder to move him up any more than that because he's still dealing with another top 15 overall receiver, in my opinion, Devonta Smith. So that's tough target competition. You have Saquon Barkley there now, who's going to have his fair share of both touchdowns, which can take away from AJ Brown, and explosive 30, 40, 50 plus yard plays, which takes away from everybody on the team. And then, yeah, there's Jalen Hurts, who's still running at a very high level. It's just harder for me to get AJ Brown higher than number 10 overall. But it's hard to say anything bad about him. He's probably the best receiver in the entire NFL at beating single high coverages. He just didn't see as many of those last year. And now we go to tier 4. My number 11 overall player is going to be Jahmyr Gibbs, who, look, it's hard to dislike a guy who is a young running back, an elite pass catcher, and just caught 52 balls as a rookie last year in only 15 games. And now he enters his second season, which means he should only get better with with his exact same offensive coordinator as last year, who helped him produce so well in 2023. Gibbs actually saw his snaps and volume increase by 15% in the second half of the season, which normally happens for running backs, but his happened much quicker than most guys. So what you get is a young and dynamic player who just has the cheat codes. He has the running back cheat codes, and that means for fantasy, the receptions was top 10 last year, and the red zone touches, 15th overall, is pretty quality for a guy who wasn't seeing a full-time role anywhere near it, wasn't used as much the first half of the season, and is an undersized player. 200 pounds, 199 pounds was the big thing about him, still was used in the red zone, they had faith in him. And now you get this guy heading into year two, who's an elite pass catcher and great at making big plays. He was number 3 in breakaway runs last year. I mean, it's really hard not to like him as a first round pick. Now we know you're probably going to say David Montgomery's still there. And once again, David Montgomery is like a 6th or 7th round pick in fantasy as of this recording. I think he's also a great play, just like he was last year. But here's the thing, David Montgomery can get his overall usage like he did last year, and Gibbs can still come through like he did last year. But if anything happens to Montgomery, like we saw for 3 games in 2023, then it's wheels up for Jahmyr Gibbs. Gibbs averaged 73% of the snaps and 23 fantasy points per game in 3 games without Montgomery last year. And that production rivals Christian McCaffrey as the number 1 overall running back in fantasy. And now to close out the top 12 players overall, we get Jonathan Taylor, who I believe is a first round pick. He's still in his prime at just 25 years old, and now he's going to maybe be in a more explosive offense. He's getting Anthony Richardson back this season, and now he enters year 2 of the offense under Shane Steichen, who was able to put up a pretty quality offense in general, all being for the Colts last year when it was led by Gardner Minshew. Now don't forget that last year Taylor started the season on the PUP list. He missed the first 4 games, and then it took him another 2 games to get ramped back up to speed. But then once he was back into his normal role over those final 8 games, he averaged 17.6 fantasy points on 21 touches per game. And both of those marks would have ranked top 5 at the running back position. And keep in mind, he had a contract dispute last year, so he was not involved with the team all during training camp with Shane Steichen, the new coach, with the new quarterback Anthony Richardson. Now he's going to be with the team during that time. That should only help those things all gel together. And let's not forget how special this guy was the last time that we saw him fully healthy and play an entire season. He had one his 1,800 rushing yards in 2021 and 360 receiving yards, over 2,100 total yards and 20 touchdowns. And now he has arguably a better offense and a better head coach heading into this year. With as little competition as he's ever had, as of right now, they'll probably add a veteran, but as of right now, Evan Hall, who only had 2 touches last year as a rookie, is his main backup because then Tyler Goodson wasn't with the team. Trey Sermon they signed later on, but he's already been ditched from another team, never got a role with the 49ers, who give everybody a role. So these are my top 12 overall players as of right now for the 2024 fantasy season. Of course, if you want to see the rest of my rankings and projections, be sure to get that fantasy blueprint today. And if you'd like to see my latest and updated top 30 running backs and wide receiver videos, they're both going to be placed right here. YouTube thinks you'll like them as well.